We're going to put the story that we've been doing for the last 6 or 7 weeks on hold as Pastor Patty and Jeff are away today. And we're going to pick that one up next week. But we're going to dip back into our generosity series. And we're going to talk a little bit about money today. Woo! Right? So talking about money can be a little bit challenging. And we all know that it's one of those taboo subjects, right? It's not something we don't like to talk about in public. We hate it when someone says, so how much do you make? No, you don't ask those questions. Just stay away from the finances. So when I realized that I was going to be preaching and the topic that I was going to be preaching on had to do with generosity and money, this is kind of what I looked like right there. Like, what? We're going to do money? No. So that's me today as I chat with you this morning to talk about some finances. It's a tricky subject, isn't it? It's something that we don't like to talk about a lot, even in our own personal lives. It's something that we kind of avoid, but yet it is something that we deal with every single day, despite the fact that every day we make personal decisions about our finances, we try to avoid that subject or that topic. And so today we want to talk a little bit about rediscovering the fun of living generously so that it's not such a taboo topic, so that it's not such a weight on us all the time, but just to find out how do we live generously. Now, we've talked about this topic before. We've gone through a few different ideas. We've talked about the idea that we are rich. Remember that? We talked about the wealth that we have within our own nation. Remember that if your household income is $33,000 or more, you are in the top 1% of the wealthiest people in the world. $33,000 or more, you are in the top 1% of the wealthiest people in the world. That means that millions and millions of people look at us and say, we are wealthy people. That's an incredible statistic. It's an incredible point of blessing that we are in that kind of a statistic, in that kind of a category. And we don't say that because we want to either put guilt on people saying, oh, I'm so wealthy, and now what do I do? And there's all this guilt on it. We don't do it so that there's this pride, too, that says, hey, I'm part of the wealthiest people. We don't do it for those reasons. But maybe understanding the wealth that we have might give us or inspire us to have a little bit more of a responsibility with our finances, but maybe also inspire some generosity with what we have. We also talked about tithing, the following the principle of giving back to God, the first fruits of the tithing, the 10% of our income, and following that command or that biblical principle and that biblical practice. We talked about putting our money where our faith is, that giving is an act of worship, and it's part of living and walking out our faith, that giving and tithing and putting our money where our faith is, that's practical steps walking out our faith. So, like you, I have been walking out my faith. I'm putting into practice these things that we're talking about, these things that we're learning. So, I'm trying to pray more. I'm trying to fast more or read my Bible more. And I'm trying to give more. I'm not only trying to be obedient in the act of giving, but I'm also trying to have a spirit of generosity about me. I don't want to just have the discipline and the act of the obedience to give. That's important. We have to follow through on that. That's a key element of our faith, is that act of giving. But I want it to be more than that. I want it also to be generosity that is part of my character, part of who I am. Generosity and giving are two different things. Giving tends to be that act of obedience and discipline, and generosity tends to be a characteristic and a part of who we are. To see things through generous eyes are very different than seeing things through selfish eyes. And so I want to find a way that my life can be full of generosity. How many know that giving and generosity are really two different things? And so I'm trying to walk out my faith. I'm trying to believe that generosity matters, and I'm trying to walk in generosity. In the same way that I walk in generosity, it's one of those things that I'm just trying to add to the mix, right? I'm trying to increase my faith and increase prayer and worship and devotions and participate in communion and celebrate in the baptism services, and I'm trying to give more. It's just one of the rhythms of my faith. I give. And as I give, I keep coming back to the question, am I generous when I give? Not just the practice and the obedience, but the generosity. Do I have the spirit of generosity? Not do I give, because we give. As a church, we give. Evangel gives, and you need to celebrate that. Did you know that in the last year, our giving at Evangel is up 7.4%? That's worth celebrating. We are giving to the point where there is increase in our giving. That allows us to do more ministry. So that's incredible. You give. We are up already this year. Over the end of our year, which starts in July 1st, we are already up this year over last year, which means the 7.4% last year has more increase already, which is a great testimony to our giving and the disciplines of giving. So way to go, Evangel. Here are some of the things that we give to. We give to different ministries around town. We give to an organization that is called Red Frogs. It's an organization out of Australia that does campus ministry. We give to the local chapter here that Pastor Tim works with. We give to Laje Femme, the ministry that Pastor Pauline used to work with that works directly with at-risk women and children. We give to Laje Femme. We give to the IBQ, that's the French Bible College that's here in Quebec, training French leaders and French pastors to be launched into ministry around Quebec. So we give to IBQ. We give to an organization called Innovation Youth. They've been around a long, long time, and they have a great program for the young people in this city. We give to them. Pastor Tim is connected with them and does an incredible work. We also give a lot of space and time to Innovation Youth, not just through Tim, but we give them the Lighthouse on many occasions so they can have meetings and functions and celebrate some things in those areas. And so we give them opportunity to there. So we give a lot more than just the $500 to Innovation Youth. And Masters, Bible College and Seminary, we give $1,000 to support that school. We give $5,000 a month to our global workers. To those that are serving God in another land, in another country, we give $5,000 a month to help support 9 different global workers around the globe. In the last 2 years, we've helped launch 2 churches, City Point, Brossard, and La Campus, donating close to $50,000 to help get them started. Folks, you need to give yourself a hand because we give. Evangel gives. I can't find anybody, I've been asking, and there's a few that were able to give me some numbers, but I can't find anybody that can tell me how many churches Evangel has planted in 102 years. They have planted churches. Every time I meet a pastor from another city or another area of this city and we get talking, they go, oh, yeah, Evangel planted this church 35 years ago. Evangel planted this church 100 years ago. I know that there's a church up in the Shawville area that was directly influenced by people that were attending Evangel and left Evangel with Evangel's blessing and support and went and started churches up in the Shawville area in Quebec. 100 years ago they did that. There are churches all over Quebec that were birthed out of this congregation because of the spirit to give, not just finances, but people to go and help support. It's an incredible thing in this church. And I keep coming back to that question, am I generous? We give, yes, we give. And I give. But I ask the question, am I generous? And maybe even more importantly than that, can generosity become the foundation for how I view life? To have a spirit of generosity about me. I've always wanted to be a person of generosity. And for me, it's a discipline. It's something that I have to continually think about or do in order that I can release generosity in my own life. And so I've watched other people who are known for their generosity, and I've tried to learn and I've tried to model what that would look like in my own life. And it doesn't always come naturally to everybody, so I've looked at those that seem to have this natural ability to give, and I say, Lord, help me to model my life after generosity. I remember at college, two stories of generosity and lack of generosity. And you know, in college, you're all poor, right? You have no money. There's no disposable income when you're a student and you're at college. And so you tend to hold on to the things that you have or the things that you get because you don't know when you're going to have or get again. And you may need to kind of hold on to whatever it is, whether it's toothpaste or chips, right? You're just going to, I don't know how long this is going to last, so I need to hang on to it. And I had two friends. There was a bunch of guys. We all hung about together. And I had two friends. And one had the spirit of generosity and one had the spirit of selfishness. And you knew that the one, when he was holding a bag of chips, you weren't getting any. There wasn't a chip coming out of that bag unless it was for himself. And it was kind of that two-handed bear hug chip thing, right? Going, nope, ain't getting any. You guys are going to eat them all. If I open up this bag, you guys are going to eat it. If I start sharing it, everyone's going to take it. I'm going to get nothing. And then I had another friend, whenever he got a care package, right, he opened it up and he shared it with everybody. And I remember a time when those two stories came together. When there was about seven or eight of us in a room, and we're just kind of, you know, talking, joking around, whatever, you know, we're not paying much attention to life, we're just kind of there, and all of a sudden, this one guy comes in, and he comes in with his bag of chips, and he's holding it like this, and he's saying, no, get your own, no, these are mine, and while he's standing there holding on to his chips, saying, no, 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 my other buddy comes in the room with a box, and he goes, boys, look what I got. And he opens it up, and we all dig in, and we share. And you know what? The atmosphere in that room changed. The spirit of generosity that entered that room changed. We went from that selfishness of that hanging on to stuff and that control issue and then the feelings and the thoughts that we had for each other because of that changed immediately when somebody came in with generosity and said, look what I have, and opened it up and shared everything that he had with everybody that was in that room. And I remember the impact that it had on me in that moment, saying, God, help me to be a person of generosity, not just one that gives because I can give, but have a spirit of generosity about me on a regular basis. I have a friend in the States. His name's Mark. Great guy. He has the means to be generous. He has the means to be able to give, you know, above and beyond. And he's a very quiet, very private person. And nobody knows most of the stuff that he does. And I know that I was down there serving in that area for a little while, and people would always come up to me. And we were staying with them, and they were good friends of ours. And so people would always come up and say, you know what, if it wasn't for him and what he did, our family would be in great trouble. And so we're just so grateful for our friendship with Mark, too. And I'm hearing all these stories of generosity. I remember one story where he went and bought an old house. It didn't cost a whole lot of money, and he renovated it, and he put this family in that house because they were about to lose the house that they had, and he wanted to make sure that he could bless them because he had the means to be able to bless them. And so it was above giving, but it was this spirit of generosity. And everything that he did was generous, but he was quiet, and he would hold it to himself, and he'd just keep back because that was just how he was able to serve. And I remember there was this one part about him, and I thought, Lord, I want to be like that. I want to just be generous all the time. When I can, I want to step into that generosity. And we would go out, you know, whether it's out to the store or out to see friends or we're going to go golfing or something. He loved his Dunkin' Donuts, and he'd always go through Dunkin' Donuts drive-thru. And when he'd go through Dunkin' Donuts drive-thru, he would always make sure that he left his change on the table or on the drive-through counter for that person. He always wanted to bless them. And every time he would say something like, just the paper money, please. And he'd take the paper money and they'd keep the change. And if there wasn't enough change, he'd leave a dollar or something else extra for them. It was just part of who he was. It was constant. It was all the time. And I thought, you know what? When I go back to Canada, I'm going to do that. I'm going to just take the paper money. I'm going to try that practice. And I'm going to just let them keep the change. You know that in the U.S. they don't have toonies and loonies? Right? And so I remember I got this practice, and I'm trying to do it with the right heart and the right mind, but I go through this drive-thru, and I get like a $2 and coffee and something else or something, and so that's like a $2 or $3 thing, and I didn't know that they were out of fives, and so they give a 10, and I go, oh, just keep the just the paper money, please, and I take the paper money, and then I hear all the toonies and the loonies hitting the little tin tray that's out there. I thought, I just left an $8 tip. And I looked at her, and she looked at me, and I just drove off. And I started to laugh. thinking, okay, God, I got that wrong. I was more interested in the giving and what it did for me than actually understanding the principle of generosity, just to let it flow out of my heart. And so I learned from that. And now I said, Lord, I'm going to try and be generous. I think the Lord was just trying to, it was a little bit of a wake-up call to say, see, are you ready to be generous? Because I can bless too. And he blessed that girl. I was glad to be a part of that blessing. Right? So generosity, it's significant. There was a study done in Zurich, Switzerland just last year. And they took 50 people and they said, you know, we want to test the levels of joy that you receive when you give money to somebody else against the levels of joy that you have when you give to yourself. And so they did up this study. These are smart people that have all the right wires and all the right equipment, and they scan the brain, and they see all the activity in the brain, and they do all that kind of stuff. And so they did this. They set this system up, and they told 25 of these 50 people, they said, we are going to give you money, and you're going to give it away. And before they received the money, they did this test on the people to see even the anticipation of being generous. We wanted to see what the joy level was, and the joy levels went through the roof. And when they said to you, this other group, they said, we're going to give you money that you can spend on yourself. They said the joy level went up, but nowhere near the levels of the people that were able to give it away to make somebody else happy, to fill somebody else's need. The levels went through the roof. They continued with the study, and they realized that not only did the joy levels go up, but as they continued studying and continuing following this pattern, they realized that the blood pressure went down and stress levels went down, and individuals' health increased as they gave away things to other people over the people that did things for themselves. Their joy increased as their generosity increased. And oftentimes when we get into those areas of pressure, a lot of times we think, you know what, I just need to treat myself. I need to go out and buy myself a new golf club or buy myself a new pair of shoes or buy myself a whatever, right? The whatevers, they're cool because you don't know what they are, right? Until you go out to the store and you find, oh, this whatever I want. Those things bring us joy. But this scientific study shows us that the joy is actually greater when we do those kinds of things for other people, when we live with a spirit of generosity. And so here's what he was saying. When it came down to the end of the study, the author of the study said, repeated practice is probably needed so that giving becomes second nature. In order to enjoy the health benefits, in order to enjoy the lower stress, in order to enjoy the joy, it said it needs to be done on a regular basis. We are literally wired by God to experience a greater amount of joy when we are generous, when we are able to step in and meet a need. Usually that immediate reaction is to treat ourselves. But when we're scientifically wired by God this way, we actually receive more joy, better health, when we're regularly able to give away and be generous. Maybe that's why Jesus said in Acts 20:35, it says, it is better to give than to receive. Maybe Jesus was onto something. Right? When we read that scripture, it's better to give to receive, we see that as kind of maybe as a little bit of a discipline. Well, you know, it's better to give than to receive, and so you need to give. You need to give away. When Jesus is really saying, I have created you and I have designed you to be generous and I've designed you to give it away, it is better to give. It's healthier. There's more joy. There's less stress. I have designed you. It is better for you to give it away than it is for you to receive it yourself. Giving is the piece of walking out our faith that always seems to be the hardest. It's the hardest one for me, right? Praying and needing to read the Bible more and the other disciplines that we have, we don't stress as much over those things and accomplishing those things and developing those things in our life. the same way that we do over our finances. We don't usually look for loopholes not to pray. We don't usually look for loopholes not to read our Bible. We usually say, you know, when my spiritual life is dry, then I go and I spend more time with God. When my spiritual life needs a boost, I then go and I pray more, or I worship more, or I read the Bible more. It's rare that we hear ourselves say, I need to give more. You know, my finances are really tight. I just need to give more. I really need to find a project or a global worker that I can bless and I can give away because, you know, things are really tight right now. I really don't have enough. I don't give enough. I really should give more. We don't hear ourselves say those things quite as often. Proverbs 11 says, sometimes you can become rich by being generous or poor by being greedy. Generosity will be rewarded. Give a cup of water, and you will receive a cup of water in return. Basically, Proverbs is saying, he that waters will also be watered. If you're dry, start watering. If you're dry, start watering. That's what Proverbs is telling us. And giving clearly is the hardest part sometimes. The finances are the hardest part. The challenge for most of us is that the margin between our income and our output decreases our peace. When our income and our outcome are really close together, then we get into that tight margin, right? And our peace decreases, right? So if there's no margin, there's no peace, and you get into that tight area. And we often say to ourselves, if I can just increase my finances, and then I can increase that margin. If I can just decrease how much goes out, then I can increase that margin. And we find ourselves in this space that maybe has a little bit more room than when it doesn't. And we're just trying to say, how can we shift the balance? How can I change that margin? But oftentimes, when we find ourselves focusing on that margin, our trust shifts. It shifts from God to stuff. Or it shifts from God to that margin, which is really that stuff, the finances and the things that hold us tight. You know, when it really comes down to it, we don't even own the stuff, right? God provides everything for us. We believe that God opens up the doors and God sends the finances and God gives the increase, and we had nothing, literally. You owned that much when you were born. And when you die and you're gone from this world, you're taking that much with you. And everything in between is just about managing it for God and being a good steward of what you have. Everything in between is really God's margin, whether it's tight or whether it's not. We're not owners, right? We're stewards. We're stewards. That doesn't mean that you haven't earned what you have, the education, the time you've put in, but the bottom line is God has given you those opportunities. God has created that path, and God has opened up that doors, and God has poured out his blessing because he has it all. We're being asked to manage the stuff. So when asking the question, am I generous? I probably need to know what generosity really looks like. Just in closing, let me tell you one more story. A story that's happening right now. There's a church in Ottawa, and it serves the downtown core. It's in a very poor area of Ottawa, and the church is old, and it's run down. It's a small congregation, but they serve the inner city of Ottawa, a very depressed part. They have a couple churches that meet in there. One of them is an outreach to the bikers in the Ottawa area. And they got a bikers church in there, and they got a couple other things that are happening. They're doing incredible work, but it's a poor church. And one of the pastors in town found out that church can't close their doors because the doors are all broken and rotting and falling apart. And so they get the doors as close as they can to shutting, and then they wrap a chain around it and they lock it. And they were actually trying to make a decision saying, we can't meet here in the wintertime. What on earth are we going to do? We're going to have to find other space. We're going to have to find some cheap space or free space, or maybe we don't meet for the winter. We just started up again in the spring. We don't know what to do. And this church, other church in Ottawa, heard about it, and he went to his congregation and he said, this is one of us. This is a church that's doing an incredible work, and they have a need, and we need to be generous, and we need to help that. We need to try and do something for them. The bill to fix the back doors was between $10,000 and $12,000 to fix it. The pastor said, we are going to take up an offering, and we are going to give them whatever comes in that offering for those doors so that they can get started on fixing those doors. And so they began to take up the offering. And on the one day that they started to do this, they raised $64,000 for that church to help fix up their doors. Isn't that incredible? It's phenomenal. And so I was talking to someone a week ago, and I said, hey, I heard about that thing in October with the city church and the amazing thing that you guys are doing from your church, and, you know, you raised $64,000. They said, you know what? That's what came in that day. They said, we can't stop the people from giving. It's just keeping increasing. They keep giving and giving each week and each day. We get money almost daily to go towards that project. And they didn't know what the total was at that point, but it was far more significant than the $64,000 they raised in that offering that day. Generosity and selfishness are both contagious. They're both contagious. And I believe that we need to continue to be a church of generosity, that contagiousness would continue and spread throughout our church. You saw the things that we give to on a regular basis. We know we can do more as a church. We know the needs that surround this city. There is no shortage, and we'll never be able to fill them all, but we can do more as we increase the intention of generosity in our lives. Not just in our finances, folks. I'm not talking just about money, but I'm talking about the character of who we are. Do we have generosity as part of our foundation? Can we see the world through the eyes of a God who is a generous God and gives to the children that he loves? Can we be that generous? Can we have that kind of generosity in us? In every avenue of life. That means even when I pull out my gum, do I pull it out in front of people because I might have to share, or I'll just wait till they leave? Right? We've all been there. We all know that. All the way down to, you know what? It's going to be sacrificial for me to give to a need, but I want to be generous, and I'm going to give to that need. Even when it physically, literally hurts and tightens up the margins around us. Do we have our faith and our trust in God who can provide and pull us out of that crisis? Do we trust in God to lead us, or do we trust in that margin? Do we trust in the stuff to hold us together and get us through? I want to be a church that gives it away. I want to be a church that releases it. We don't own it. We're conduits. We are conduits for God to bless so that we can pour it out. I want to give it away. Let's pray. Jesus, we thank you for your sacrifice for us. Father, we're so grateful for your blessings to your children. We're so grateful for the generosity that you pour out on us. So, Father, teach us and lead us to be generous people, not just givers. We're thankful that we're givers, Lord. We're thankful that giving is what giving is. But we want to go beyond giving. We want to be generous. Help us to live with a spirit of generosity in us. Help us to find people that need coats and gloves for the winter and buy them stuff. Help us to find people that need winter tires or the car to be fixed or wiper blades or any of the little things. Help us to find kids that just need an extra gift at Christmas, or help us to just give away what we have extra of. Help us to be generous, Lord, that we can be conduits that you can pour through. Let us be vessels for you in this city, in this kingdom. I thank you for your blessings. I thank you for your salvation. I thank you for pouring into us today. May we be people of generosity. We thank you for this, and we love you. Be with us as we go, Lord. Help us to be people that will do good, people that will love each other, and people that will reveal Jesus. As we go, make that part of our life as we give you away to those around us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God is good, folks. God is a God of blessing, and he desires to pour it out. We have some folks that are at our prayer stations just gathered here. If you want prayer today, please come. Maybe you're on that journey to find Jesus, and you just want more questions answered, and maybe you just want some prayer. Come and find one of the folks at our prayer stations that we can pray with you and invest in your life today. Thank you for coming, folks. God bless. Go do good, love each other, and reveal Jesus. Thank you for being here today.